Welcome to Subscriptions for Authors. Meet your co-hosts, Michael Evans, sci-fi thriller author of a dozen novels, and Amelia Rose, a semi-romance author that makes six figures per year in subscriptions. Together, we will help you make more money with subscriptions and succeed in the future of publishing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Storytellers of the World show. Now, if you're new here, welcome. This is the show where we help authors break free from retailers and platforms and take advantage of us. We're tired of the silly games this industry. We want to help storytellers take control. But we haven't always been the Storytellers of the World show. And astute listeners, maybe you want to go back and listen to episode number one, filmed actually just over 2 years ago is when that was filmed. We released it just about 2 years ago now. Now, 100,000 downloads later, we're here, and we have changed our name. We used to be the Descriptions for Authors podcast. Now we're the Storytellers of the World show. And you might be wondering what and why the change. And we've talked about this change before. I've been talking about it for a few, maybe even 3 months. And in short, we love subscriptions, created a lot of awesome things about subscriptions. But the real goal of subscription isn't just to help you make recurring revenue as an author. It's to help really build your own platform, build your own hub for your readers, and take back control of your writing career, to give your readers a better experience, to build a community of your super fan. And that goal is broader than just subscription, that mission. So we wanted to make the podcast a bit broader than just subscription. And we've been transitioning over the last couple months. And I remember telling you all that like June's when you're gonna start to see some changes. And June is here now. And we have an exciting, I wouldn't even say change, but new development to announce. And we have a regular guest, someone who has now been as a guest on two different episodes. We've never had a guest come back twice, but Ariel is a guest no longer because now Ariel is a co-host of the show and will be focusing all on helping you all improve your craft as authors. That's right. Finally, we're going to be talking about craft. It's no secret that I love business, specifically business for indie authors. I've been in this industry running my own indie author business for about 7 years now and just obsessed with it. But the truth is that business is only one part of the coin. And it's honestly the part of the coin that you definitely need to have. You need to be able to know how to grow and run a business as an author, how to discover and market your book. But none of that matters if you don't have a great story. And how you have a great story is by having great craft, by being able to create great quote unquote products, great, definitely not quote unquote experiences for your readers. And we finally want to focus on sharing those insights with you here that you're not just learning about business here, but also learning about what craft you need to succeed. And I won't be the one leading that, but Ariel will. So before we share exactly what that change will look like and how people can get involved and get more awesome craft content from Storytellers of the World, from you, Ariel. Why don't you share with us, first of all, like maybe a brief little introduction for folks who like didn't listen to our other two podcast episodes with you. I'll make sure we link to the two podcast episodes we did with you below. They'll be in the description. They were mostly focused, I think, on Serial, both of them. But what I want to now ask you is on top of your brief introduction, why are you so passionate about craft? And why do you think craft matters for all of us?
My mom joked that she taught me the basics of phonics, and then I taught myself to read, and she's right. So I've been reading since I was 4, which is a long time. We're talking decades now. So I've read a lot over that time. Like, I would not even try estimating. I tried a few years ago to estimate how many books I've read in my life. No idea. But when I started reading, it was like the entire world made sense to me, which is a hilariously dramatic thing to say about a 4-year-old. But it did. The entire world was suddenly like, it was a whole new world. And stories, like I was already a bit of a storyteller as a child. There's stories. But stories became so much more for me. And they became literally my life's shit. So a lot of times I don't even describe myself as a writer or an author. I'm a storyteller because I don't just write stories. Like, I have a lot of younger siblings. I told them bedtime stories for years. I told them stories like them and their friends, stories when they needed to stay occupied when there were things happening. It's been a whole thing. But the more books that I read and the more that I started working on my own writing and telling my own stories, the more I started noticing the differences between what made a good story, a compelling story, and just a story, right? It's weird to talk about because it was a very intuitive thing. And so it's hard to pinpoint any kind of transition where it was like, oh, hey, there are good stories and there are bad stories. It just happened. And the more that I looked at the good stories versus the bad stories, the more that I noticed the difference was in how they were written, how they connected humans, people, to characters, people. I did a video on this yesterday that you'll see on the YouTube channel at some point, but characters are people just as much as humans are people, right? And that's the one universal connection, no matter what story you're telling. And learning how to do that well is what craft is about. And that passion for storytelling and that passion for good storytelling specifically led me into a career of editing at all stages. So I've done every stage of editing. Developmental editing was my favorite, but I've done extensive line editing, extensive copy editing, proofreading, just so much. So I have a full stack of editing experience and have for years also did critiques. I got started in beta reading, moved from there to critique reading, moved from there to editing, like a whole career while writing at the same time. I have one book out under my name. There's other stuff out under other names, but that's where the passion for craft started. And it's one of those things that for me never goes away because it's a picture of a volcano or a geyser, right? It's always bubbling under the surface. And then it just like erupts at times. And for everyone else, we were in a team meeting yesterday and someone said something and I went off on a 10-minute rant about a story that Michael was just doubled over laughing at one point because it just erupted. So that's where the passion came from. And it's not cooling at all. Like, it's heating up more and more through the years. Like, people who know me now know that I've been, or people who've known me for the last few years know that I've been super passionate about that. You will see Erica Everest, who leads Poe and the Summit, teasing me about that on Facebook all the time. Like, you are going to see that if you are friends with either of us. And it just keeps growing because there are so many stories to be told and so many people want to put their stories out there. But in order to really connect with readers and have readers coming to your work and following you and following your work and coming back for more stories from you, you need to be good at craft.
I mean, it's amazing to hear your passion. I love your rants. I think we need to get more of those rants. We will have like rants about different topics, but it's great. And I think that something sometimes gets lost in the script of a lot of today's publishing paradigm. And something that I know that me and you will agree on that's wrong about the existing industry is that a lot of us have this false belief that, you know, wow, okay, it is so hard to get discovered as an author. We have to be so good at the marketing and so good at the business. Getting our books out there. How can we get our stories out there? And I understand where this misbelief comes from. And I've been one to hold that myself. And for me, holding that misbelief led me to figuring, hey, I guess I have to get my stories out there, right? That must be what I do. Instead of investing time in learning and craft, which craft is fun. We all love the act of writing. But I also think that English class in school, depending on like where you're from, this might be different, but I know for most people in the States, the act of learning of writing in English class is not a fun experience. Almost everyone. In fact, many of us have probably gotten poisoned by that, thought that there's no way we like writing, and then figured out 10 or 15 years later that, oh, you know, 40 years old or whatever, that like writing is actually not what we were taught in school, right? But almost learning writing, because storytelling is instinctual to so many of us. Learning about writing is like something that we almost resist. But the idea of learning about business and growing our readership and getting to where we want to go, which is, forget the money. We all want our stories to impact the lives of readers. And yeah, money can come from it, and hopefully it does. And, you know, part of our podcast is teaching you how that does come from it. But that's what we really want. We want our stories to be recognized. We don't want to, you know, live a life where our story is that tree that fell in the woods and no one heard it. We want our stories to be heard. We want to impact the lives of readers. And to do that, we have to reach readers. So we start to get into this mindset that, oh, okay, well, we must market. We must get our books out there. And we learn all about the industry, the business, which is tantalizing, right? It's tantalizing. It's, ooh, you know, all the fun things that come from it. And then we forget about the thing that really matters, craft. And for me, I was a total victim of that and thought that it was just about producing enough books fast enough and marketing them enough slash as much as possible. And I've shared this story before, but after spending $10,000 on AdSense, sorry, ad spend. AdSense is what YouTube gives its creators, but I'm also familiar with. But after spending $10,000 in ad spend and losing the vast majority of it, I had to sit down and realize that I got people to see my book. I got people to buy my book. I got people to start reading them, but I didn't get people to finish them. And that's a really hard thing to come to terms with. The fact that, the problem wasn't necessarily my marketing. I was able to figure that out. It was the craft. And because the craft was not there, it didn't matter how many people saw or bought my book. Sure, I maybe had a few fans, but it wasn't enough to make my marketing truly effective. And therefore, it didn't matter. And all of that time that I spent thinking that business was the answer, I was wrong. And I blamed myself for that. And I actually hated myself for that. And I thought that it was actually not because I needed to actually take the time to learn craft and needed the right resources, which we're going to give to you like almost an unlimited amount, completely for free on this podcast and on our YouTube channel. We'll talk more about it. It wasn't that. I thought the problem was me and that I just wasn't good enough as a writer. And I don't want anyone to feel like that, because it's not that you're not good enough as a storyteller. There's nothing to do with that. It's just like anything, we have to learn. It's a muscle that has to be built. But imagine going into a gym and never having seen people work out. Like, you're smart enough to know I lift weight must work. But what if you end up having the incorrect form and you're pulling all of your muscle? Or what if the guy next to you, like, just naturally, or whoever the person is next to you, I'm using a gym analogy just because we can all visualize it, but it's got this huge chest and it's like pumping these huge dumbbells, right? And you're like, oh, I think I can go and do that. But your body just isn't built that way. You actually have stronger legs and you should be squatting. Again, this is like a weird analogy. But it's also true, like when we go into a gym, we understand that we don't want to break ourselves. Everyone has different bodies, different strengths, different weaknesses. But we can all like, and there's no one correct body or one correct story, right? Even though society tells us that. And I think that's what we need, though, is it's not just the recognition that there's many different kinds of great stories. There's no one great way to write a story. But it's about finding your great way to write a story and that you do need guidance along that path and that it's not your fault. It's honestly this industry's fault for not making this more of an emphasis. And to be honest, we didn't make this an emphasis for our first 2 years. And it's time we change that. So I'm really excited for what's to come and what you're going to be doing here.
And I want to add on to a couple things you said, which is, you mentioned it earlier, and then you just said again, the storytelling instinct, right? You and I have talked about this a lot. But so many people have that storytelling instinct from a young age. I certainly did. You did. My partner, like most of the writers that are, I would call like in my inner circle, they all had that growing up. It's one reason we connected. And it is craft. So many people have this idea that craft and learning it has to be like English class, which, full disclosure, I hated English class. I hated it. Every time I had to do a creative writing assignment for English class, I balked and I just hated it. It was too stiff. It was awful. And a lot of people have, like you said, this idea that learning craft has to be like English class. And it's not true. It's about honing your storyteller instinct. It's not about, hey, this one universal thing is true across like everything. For example, Stephen King's On Writing is an amazing book. So much amazing advice. However, Stephen King is very anti-adverb in a lot of what he writes. Now, this works for Stephen King. It works very well for Stephen King. It works very well for a lot of specific ways of telling stories. Short stories works great. Specifically horror short stories, other kinds of short stories, horror in general. There are some broad applications of be scarce with that. I super disagree with that advice in like fantasy or sci-fi. Again, you definitely should not overload your stories with that. But that's a specific thing that works for Stephen King. It works for some people. It works more in some genres and formats, but it does not work across the board. And I prefer to teach craft in a way that helps people hone their storytelling instincts individually, because everyone's is different. What resonates with you as a storyteller is different. The kind of stories you like to tell are different. Everyone has common themes. Found family and revolution are some of mine. Like, shocker. But that's exactly it. It's not about some kind of, I've achieved craft perfection, because you never did. Neil Gaiman will tell you that. But you learn how to hone your instinct, and you learn how to write your stories well. And that's exactly what all of this is about. And it's exactly the way that I prefer to lean into teaching. Or big thing.
And that is also our same mindset around how also authors should be approaching their business. Authors should be approaching their marketing. Like, you should, one, be channeling that creative instinct
from what you're doing.
And the idea that there's no one right formula, but there is a mindset that we can all adopt that can help us. And that mindset is not 10 principles to follow, but is instead just a way in which we approach and adapt to the world around us. And when it comes to specifically what I think has been really needed, it's not only just this idea of we're going to talk about craft, but also highlighting different perspectives of how that works. So it's not just going to be Ariel who is going to be talking about her incredible craft insights, but putting that in conversation with other amazing people who are going to be interviewing on the podcast, where instead of the focus being, hey, let's talk about your business and how you grew. No, like, I'll handle that part. Instead, we'll talk about that still. But instead, like, why don't we talk about like how they came up with a specific character and you know, why the readers resonated with it. And, you know, it's more art than science, but really diving in and getting people's perspective on how do they write their stories? What is their process like? Process is a big deal too, right? Because it's not even just how we write, it's when we write, it's where we write. And those are really important things. Some of us need quiet. Some of us need to be like in the same location or room. Others are able to like jam out 5,000 words on a cross-country airplane. And that doesn't make anyone less or more, but these are all things we have to talk about. Which also makes what we're doing with Anna and Throws the World Sprints really interesting, because those are free writing events that hopefully get to take everything that we're now beginning to talk more and more about on this show and give you all a space to be able to actually sprint through your story together. And we'll talk more about it as it gets closer and on the mailing list. If you're not on it, you can go to the link in the description and get there. But we're going to be announcing Scribbling Through Summer, our July storytelling event. And we're excited for it. Yeah, these are all the things. And I'm curious for you, Ariel, your mindset with craft and your mindset that you'd tell other writers to approach. What would be your takeaways for someone who's just getting started? Because I know you've worked with a lot of writers yourself who are just getting started. And at one point in time, we were all just getting started, me and you included. What would be your advice to them versus, or maybe what would your additional or different advice be to someone maybe like me who has been doing this for a while, who has 10 or 12 books out, but maybe actually hasn't focused on craft, or who has, but just is at that different stage? Because I'm curious, is there different advice? Is there a different way you'd approach it versus getting started versus that more advanced level? Or I shouldn't even say advanced, but just at least
has further along.
Yeah.
So there's one piece of advice that I would give to both sets of people. And again, like you said, it's less advanced than it is like further along in the journey. And if you've written 5 books, you're further along than 1 book. And if you've written 10, you're further along than 5. So it's a successive journey. But there is one piece of advice that I give to basically everyone, regardless of how far along they are. And especially to authors who are just starting out, which is, and this really, really, really goes back to how I prefer to work with people to hone their storytelling instinct, which is look at the stories that you love first. Okay, most of us came to writing because we read stories or we saw stories or both that inspired us. Or we sat down to watch a TV show one day and we were like, oh, wow, this is bad. I could do better than that. Okay, fine. Put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. Sit down and write a story that's better. There are a lot of different ways that people come to writing. Some people, I have a client that I worked with, also a friend, and she'd never considered writing, ever. And then one day, she just sat down and started writing. And 3 books. But she had worked in a different kind of storytelling for years because she's a musician, which is another way of telling stories, right? Art, music, and writing, they're all very closely connected with storytelling. And I have seen, and it's really fascinating too, looking at kind of some of the subtle differences as an editor between beginning storytellers who actually started out in music and they came to writing, or storytellers who began in art and they came to writing, versus, very fascinating, whole other topic. But start with the stories that you love. What was your favorite book as a child? What is your favorite book now? Or if you, like me, find it hard to pick just one favorite, list 5 favorite stories, and they can be across any medium. They can be, you know, maybe you have Baldur's Gate 3 on that list, which as a video game has some of the best storytelling. And I've talked before about that, and especially in ethereal format, how really great that storytelling is in that game. Maybe it's 3 books and a movie and 2 TV shows or something like that, which is not 5. That doesn't math. But list your favorite stories across any medium. And for me, I will actually make columns for each kind of medium. So my favorite books, my favorite TV shows, my favorite movies, maybe my favorite short stories as opposed to novels, favorite video games, favorite other kinds of stories. And go back to those. Right. Start there or go back to them if you haven't been there in a while, or even if you have been there in a while, and really think about why you love those stories. What specifically about those stories resonates with you? Is it the characters? Is it the setting? Is it something about the plot? Is it the tropes? Really dig into those and ask yourself those questions. And I will make that a blog post so that you can have all the questions in one place. But this is an exercise that I gave pretty much every client I ever worked with, because understanding the why of your storytelling instinct, understanding what specifically fuels storytelling in you, is where you have to start in order to understand how to improve. Because without that, you're just like flailing around going like, well, I don't know if I need advice on characters, or I don't know if I need more work on setting, or I don't know if I need more work. You don't really have a starting point. And also, even though you will learn as you're flailing around, you can't apply it as well if you don't know what specifically fuels you. For me, like I said, revolution, very common topic in my stories. Also, found family. On that list of things that inspire me, Star Wars, front and center. It's always going to be Star Wars, which has both of those elements in huge qualities or quantities, right, in the story. Les Miserables was another one for many years. Like, I've read the unabridged 1,400-page book, Les Miserables. In fact, I did 1,000 of those pages in a single week. Never doing that again, but I did it. So go back to what inspires you, or start with what inspires you. Make a list of these things if you can. Even if you're not normally a list person, I suggest this, but also if you literally cannot force yourself to make a list, and I totally understand that because everybody works differently. if there's just some way that you can make a note or geotag it in your mind, that's how I remember a lot of things. Whatever way that you need to remember what these things are, keep these things in mind as you explore craft and start there. So like if love stories, second chance love stories inspire you, okay, let's start there. Then in order to improve your craft, you're really going to start with second chance love stories and read a bunch of them. Read second chance love across genres. Read, especially if you can, find second chance love, not just in romance genres, but other genres where it's a subplot, right? Because reading across genres, they call it cross-pollination. I'm super, super, super passionate about that. You'll hear a lot more about that as well. Not just across genres, but across storytelling formats and mediums. So short stories, novels, etc. Or like tabletop roleplay games, video games, like all of these, music, right? We talked about that a little bit. Art. All of these can tell stories in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So start with what inspires you. Find more of those stories. And ask yourself, as you go through these stories, whether you're watching TV or reading a book, ask yourself, what do I like about this? What do I not like about this? And why? Because that question of why do you like or not like something is what helps you start to develop the muscle and hone that storytelling instinct to really focus on what inspires you and then what you specifically need to improve. So that's advice that I give that to everyone, no matter what stage it's their writing career they're at or author career or anything. To people who are further along, they have 5-10 books out, maybe even 15, and they're like, I really need to improve my craft. There's another piece of advice I give, which is find an editor. If you already work with an editor and it's just not pushing you the way you need to, work with a different editor, talk to your current editor. First, I actually always advise that first. Have a conversation with your current editor. See if maybe you guys need to change how you do things. But find an editor or find further editing. Find a critique partner. Join a writing group. Join a critique group. I've been a part of a bunch of critique groups over the years and have kind of settled into a place now where there are really two people who get my rough draft, and then they send feedback and they're like, oh, you really need this. I know what you're going for here, but it's not landing. And then I can go, okay, that's because I left out this thing I should have included, and I left out this thing and I included this thing I should not have, right? And then I revise it. So that is incredibly helpful because it doesn't matter how long you've been at this. It doesn't matter how many books you've written, how many stories you've consumed. You are never going to see your work in quite the same way that a pair of outside eyes will. I was an editor for 7+ years, and I have an editor. Like, I cannot self-edit my work. To a large degree, I can revise it super, super well. So I turn over very clean drafts, and my editor is basically going through and double-checking me. And I do the same for her because, like, that's just, we have a very unique and symbiotic relationship where it's like we can critique, edit, sort of like for each other, and it's wonderful. You can't always find that. I know that's very rare for a lot of people, but as someone who was an editor, I would not put out a book, like the final finished form of a book, without getting editing. Now, I know that's different for everyone, but for me, my advice is always, if you've reached a point in your career where you recognize you need more help, find an editor, find a critique partner, join a writing group, get feedback.
The feedback is something that is so important. And I myself was like extremely reticent and actually scared about that. In my first book I had, actually, no beta readers. I didn't even know what they were. And I went to the Vanity Press and I talked about that before. And that was like not an amazing decision. But my next book was like, I started to learn the ropes a little bit. I was like, okay, beta readers, here we come. And I only had two. I was like scared to ask enough people. And I actually think that was partially a mistake, only having two. And I didn't carefully select them on like genre enough as I should have. And they were great. They gave me great feedback, but I wasn't thinking along the right lines with selecting them. And then finally, I think it wasn't until literally like 5 or 6 years into writing that I was a freshman in college at the time. And I was like writing seriously that I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to go get a workshop and actually get a gig from somewhere. And it was really helpful. And it was great being a part of a community of writers that where we were sharing those insights. You also mentioned something really interesting about not just looking to writing. Like you've been talking about movies, you've been talking about video game. And I'm curious on that front, like when it comes to craft, we can't argue that writing a novel is a big art form. Writing a serial in a way is also a big art form, very connected to novel. Short stories are a specific art form, but like the written word is different from obviously film, but it's also not all that different. So what do you think we can learn from other medium, and how do you filter these other mediums and take insights that can help you be a better writer?
So this goes back to a point that I made at the beginning, which was the one universal across all forms of storytelling and all types of stories is characters, right? Obviously, there are a couple of exceptions to that somewhere. I'm not thinking of them off the top of my head. There's an exception to every rule, though. So the one universal across most stories is characters. Characters are people. Readers are people. People connect to people. And that's why even when you're writing plot-driven stories, characters are incredibly important. And learning how to write characters, even if they're not driving the story per se, the plot is, it's still important to learn good characterization. And that's actually where I start with other stories, where it's, okay, why does this resonate? Why does this fascinate? Also, if you don't normally cross-pollinate across types of mediums, and yes, I know there are a couple of adult jokes that can be made there, guys. I know, I hear it as I say it. But if you've like never experienced a tabletop RPG, watch a live play show on YouTube. There's Critical Role. There's Dimension 20. There's High Rollers. Those are the three most popular, I think. If you've never played a video game before, YouTube, YouTube, YouTube. Playthroughs. Find a game in your genre. Do you write horror? Then Google top horror video games or something like that, right? And watch some playthroughs. Obviously, I will caveat, make sure that you read your content warnings and stuff like that, because there are a lot of horror games that can be intense for some people. If you've never experienced a fantasy video game or tabletop role-playing game, Google, find a list, go on YouTube, find some live plays, find some playthroughs. YouTube is your friend with this. And same thing for movies and TV. If you've mostly read fantasy books but have never really watched fantasy TV or a movie or something like that, just Google a list. Top 20 fantasy movies or something like that, right? Princess Bride is going to be up there. Labyrinth going to be up there, right? Just find a list, make a list, and start watching and start experiencing these stories. And if you get bored, stop. Move on to another one. Life is way too short to be spending time on things you're bored by, okay? There's a lot of fantasy shows I don't watch because I started them and I got bored and I moved on. But filtering those really through the lens of, do I connect with this? And if I do not connect with this, why? Is it because it bores me personally because it's not a story I enjoy? Is it because maybe the writing's bad? There's a lot of really written fantasy TV. Like, we can really get into that for probably 10 episodes, and we're not going to today. But filter it through, do I connect with the story? And if I connect with the story, how and why? Am I watching Critical Role and getting sucked in because I saw the anime on, the animated show on Amazon Prime, and then I was curious about what was behind it? So I go and I start watching the campaign. Is it just fascinating to me seeing the interplay between characters and players at the table? Because there's essentially two stories going on in that regard. And actually, reality TV tells a story too, okay? We have a friend who, there's a makeup show that this friend and my partner watched together. And we started the new season or something like that. I think it was the new season, like a month ago. And saw the first couple of episodes. And it was a competition-style elimination show, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it is. But reality TV like that, America's Next Top Model, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, like all of that kind of reality TV tells a story too, right? Especially those kind which are highly scripted and very manipulative in how all the stories are portrayed on screen. There's a bunch of those on YouTube too, as well as a YouTuber who regularly reviews a bunch of that kind of thing. There are stories everywhere we look because stories are coded into the human DNA. So this is a little bit of a rambling answer, but I would start with what kind of stories are your favorite? Search up a list of those stories in other mediums and just start watching and start reading, because jumping into them and experiencing them is where you have to start. There's literally no other way to really get into these. Like, you can try recaps first to see if you will like or not like a thing. But past a certain point, you just have to get started and then filter that through. Do I connect with this? If I do not, is it because this story does not personally appeal to me, or something else about the story? And if you keep watching, if you connect with it, even if you don't connect with it, ask yourself, why? If I connect with this thing, why do I connect with this thing? Is it because this character is me in fictional form? Is it because I really will not stand this character, but it's fascinating? I've watched a lot of Shonda Rhimes television for a reason.
I love it. No. That's incredible advice. And yeah, I can't tell you, like, it all comes back to the character at the end of the day. Is people want to be around people. We want to develop relationships with it. And I think what makes fiction specifically, like, really powerful is when you get into the mind of the character, it's really the only form of storytelling out there that allows you to be in the character's mind. There's obviously some form, you know, film can play around with this, new game too, but it's not like as effective as like the written word, really, or spoken word, whether it's an audiobook, audio serial, etc. And when language is used to bring us into the mind of one else, the empathy that creates is beautiful. It brings us together in a really beautiful way. Yeah, it's incredible when we realize who and why we empathize with and what makes us connect with characters. When we can give that experience to other readers. There's a really good book I read that's probably too nerdy for people, but it's on the evolution and cognition of fiction. And it's like a 700-page book. Now, if you want to dive deep into a textbook on evolutionary psychology and storytelling, it's a very good book. I feel like I always have to recommend a book. But with that said, why don't we share now how people can get more involved with this? Because we're obviously rolling out this free brand new show over the course of time. It's not an overnight thing. And we're taking that next step now, which is super exciting. But do you want to share people who want to be involved with specifically craft and specifically hear more from you, what's going to be happening and where they can go?
For starters, I'm putting more videos up on YouTube under the Storytellers Rule the World channel. So the team is. I film the videos, the team puts them up. There are going to be a lot of craft insights there, especially when it comes to existing stories. So I mentioned earlier, go to existing stories to start learning craft. That's actually how I learned. It wasn't through craft books. It was literally through existing stories. So that's one reason I don't have a lot of craft book recommendations. A few really good ones. And I actually learned just as much from mindset books from authors. Like essays on how they wrote. So Ray Bradbury has Zen and the Art of Writing, which is amazing. Wow. Mentioned Stephen King. Ursula K. Le Guin wrote Language of the Night, I think was hers. There's a book called Wand and the Word, which is interviews with, I don't know, a bunch of fantasy authors about how they wrote. The books like that really helped me more than, this is how to write characters. Okay, that's how you write characters. So I don't have a lot of craft book recommendations for that reason, but I am a firm believer in look at existing stories. And when you're new to that, or even if you're experienced at that, it's still fun to hear someone else's take. At least I think so. It's why I exist on Tumblr all the time and YouTube as well. Like, commentary channels form at least one night a week we watch commentary channels, my partner and I, where it's like, this person's reviewing this movie or this person's reviewing this movie. And I'm going to be doing not commentaries, but like breaking down elements in a lot of TV shows and movies and that kind of thing. And that'll be on the YouTube channel. And if you're in the Academy, you've already experienced a lot of that through the Serial Labs. We're running joke now that I get on to do a Serial Lab and I just talk about story for 40 minutes and then the questions come in and I answer the questions. So it's a running joke now, but that'll be on the YouTube channel. Obviously, you can only access the lab if you're in the Academy, but there's 8 different labs that I've done. No, more than that. But I just can't remember. So you can access the lab if you're in the Academy. The YouTube channel is and always will be free. There's going to be a ton of stuff up there. And we have a group on Facebook called Serial Fiction for Authors, which you can join. I did an Ask Me Anything about serial writing craft in that a couple days ago. I'm going to be doing more Ask Me Anything consistently in the future. If you're already in the Academy, I'm doing the same thing in the Academy Discord, but that is, again, only available to members of the Academy. But the Facebook group, those question and answer posts will be available to everybody. You can join that. And we will be creating, it's already in development, another Facebook group just for craft. It does not matter what level and author you are. It doesn't matter how far along in your storytelling journey you are. It doesn't matter how you got started. This group is for authors of all skill levels. It doesn't matter how you're publishing. If you're in KU, if you are wide, if you're doing direct sales, if you're doing subscriptions, if you're doing some mix of all of that, doesn't matter. You can come here. You can do this craft. We'll be talking. I'll do so many like posts and question and answer things because I love answering questions. You ask me a question, I am off. I asked. As you can see, he asks me one question and I go on for 20 minutes. So I love answering questions. We'll be talking characters. We'll be talking dynamics / relationships and chemistry, because I'm super passionate about that in storytelling, like every aspect of storytelling. But we'll be talking setting and tone, genre, trope, world building, dialogue, like all of it is going to be talked about there and on YouTube. If I have long answers to things, I'll frequently repurpose those on YouTube because I leave. It takes me 20 minutes and I write this novel-length comment and then I have to film a video later and I go, I'm just going to use it again. But it gives people like 2 different ways to experience it as well. If you prefer to intake things visually or audio, you can watch it on YouTube or you can see the posts in the Facebook group. Until we have that ready, you can join the Serial Fiction for Authors group. We do talk about some general craft stuff in there, not just serial fiction. I was actually telling Michael before we got started, there are some things about writing craft that you really only hone in on more if you're writing serial fiction, but also just general writing craft is going to improve your writing no matter what kind of format you're delivering your stories in. So serialized fiction, short stories, novels, etc. So until we have that ready, you can join the Serial Fiction group, but we will also be getting that ready and you can join that. You can invite all your author friends. We will be talking craft until the sun goes down. Or I will be.
Love it. No, it's going to be amazing. And as a reminder, everyone, we only have 1 mailing list. So we're going to be updating our automation sequences to make it all make more sense, because that's part of the whole rebrand too, is like being more cohesive in our messaging. But there's 1 mailing list. So if you already have 1 mailing list, that's great, but you should sign up for it just because that is where we do share everything and you'll be guaranteed to get it in your inbox. And then the YouTube channel is going to be the home of all our content. So if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, know that this is the great place where you will get continuing interviews. And when you listen to this podcast, like how it'll be is I'll always do a little intro with Ariel. So if you don't want to miss my voice, you'll still hear it at least a little bit every podcast episode. But then when we get to the YouTube channel, some videos might be from Ariel, some videos might be from me, and then who knows? I think give it another year and we already have some other folks who might be also creating content to continue expanding what we're doing here and give you all more resources. So with that said, check all of that down below and get more work in our world we're creating for you, our story. But with that said, Ariel, thank you as always. It was a ton of fun. And everyone listening, Don't forget, storytellers rule the world.